Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have, from our youth, acquired or were given various images, names, or understandings of God. Whether it may be starting out sort of cartoonish, as we look back from our older age, when we were a child, or to things that are very clear in Scripture, God who is omnipotent, omnipresent, the one who provides things, the one who guides things, the one who rules in the heavens, the one who created all things. And in this gospel, we learn and hear of another way of relating to God. And as Jesus refers to Lazarus, to the apostles, he refers to Lazarus as a friend. It is in this understanding of God as friend that we understand the heart and depth of God and are able to more accurately understand what it means to be omnipotent, omnipresent, that this is not some trickster, that this is not some malevolent being, but that we know God in the face of Jesus Christ, the one who calls Lazarus his friend and also calls us his friends. It is in this particular episode in the ministry and life of our Lord that we see Jesus groaning within his spirit and weeping. That we see God himself weeping over, not just over his creation, not just over that which he has protection or providence over or oversight, but that God himself weeps for a friend, for Lazarus, someone, not something, and the particularities of a one person, Lazarus. This is, as the Gospel of John, this is kind of striking, because all around our Lord is a lot of confusion about what is going on. This is constant throughout the Gospel of John. The apostles are like, let's go and take care of our friend, Lazarus. And Jesus basically drags his feet because he knows that the work of God is going to happen through Lazarus. When he gets there, he's even confronted. If you had come sooner, this would not have happened. This is throughout the entire Gospel of John. We see little aspects of this in the Synoptic Gospels, where obviously the apostles are kind of lost, they don't fully understand, but it's really the Gospel of John where it almost comes to a fever pitch of almost like humor. Just Jesus knows what he's doing and everybody else around him is just kind of going, what's going on? We thought this, It is the raising of Lazarus, his friend, that starts the beginning of the end. Right after the appointed reading, this is where the Pharisees start plotting to kill our Lord. This is why Lazarus Saturday falls on this Saturday, because this is what begins the sequence of events to our Lord's triumphant entry tomorrow, and then his walking towards Golgotha. And throughout this next week, there will be the same kind of frenzy and confusion. We will have Palm Sunday, where it seems like everyone is on board with the Messiah and with his mission. They may not fully understand it, but they are really excited about it. The Son of David has come. And as we go through Holy Week, it starts getting and turning and getting darker, getting more confused, greed, envy, all of the things of the world start to swallow our Lord up. And I want us to remember this particular Saturday, this is what the church puts before us, is the groaning of our Lord, the tears of our Lord, the friendship that our Lord has with Lazarus, and that this is what guides him in the face of the darkness that is to come, even after all of the light and fanfare of Palm Sunday. That it is Christ himself that loves and has gone to the cross for Lazarus, but for every single one of us whom he knows by name. And it is especially in Holy Week that we ourselves, if we open our hearts and minds, have ourselves opened, I would say kind of ripped open, to actually hear upon ourselves and to really ponder the love of God for us and the ways in which we lack the confidence, trust, faith, hope, and the love of God that we should have. Because very often we are like the apostles, or we are like Martha, who questions, who does not understand. This is throughout Holy Week. The disciples do not understand. They do not understand how God is working. They do not understand what God is doing. They have a different plan. They have a different plot. They want God to act in a particular set way. Why allow Lazarus to die? 4 days. Why allow his flesh to begin to rot? Why does God allow this? The one whom he calls friend, the one whom he, of course, God groaning deep within himself and weeping for his friend, why does he allow this? I am sure there are parts of our life where we feel like we're maybe more than 4 days dead in the tomb, and we stink, and we wish that God did not allow us to even enter into that tomb, that we had a better plan, that we understand things better than our Lord. But this is to miss our God's love and our God's understanding of us, and that is something deeper and more radical than whatever plans we have for ourselves. I mean, God himself dies, that's the plan. That is the plan. You're going to say there's a plan of salvation. That is your plan of salvation too. You're going to have to die. Literally, you're going to have to die. But you're also going to have to die. As we saw in baptism, we see death symbolized before us in ways that we don't fully understand yet, in the future, and maybe even in the present, of things that we suffer, that we stink, but that it is Jesus himself who has allowed it, who has blessed it, and maybe it seems like he's dragging his feet, and maybe you want to pound his chest and weep and say, I don't understand. But it's exactly Jesus who is marching to your tomb to cry your name aloud and say, come forth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.